Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to argenx's fourth quarter 2016 business update and full year financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a question and answer session to follow this presentation. I would now like to introduce Yuka Kuman, Corporate Communications Manager at argenx. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. A press release with the argenx fourth quarter business update and full year 2016 financial results became available at 7 a.m. Central European time today and can be found on our website. Before we start, I'd like to go to slide 2. As a reminder, forward-looking statements may be presented during this conference call. These may include statements about our future expectations, clinical development and regulatory timelines, the potential success of our product candidates, financial projections, and upcoming milestones. Actual results may differ materially from those indicated by these statements. Argenx is not under any obligation to update statements regarding the future or to conform those statements in relation to actual results unless this is required by law. I'm joined on the call today by Tim van Houwermeiren, CEO of argenx, and Eric Castaldi, CFO. On slide 3, you will see a brief agenda for the call. Tim will provide a corporate introduction, highlighting our platform, our programs, and our collaborations, summarizing recent news, as well as laying out upcoming events. Eric will then provide financial results for the year, followed by a Q&A. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Tim van Houwermeiren.
Thank you, Yoke, and good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to start the call today by recognizing the great progress we made in 2016 across our business, as outlined on slide number 5. We continue to deepen our pipeline of cancer and autoimmune products and now have 4 clinical drug candidates in phase 1/2 and phase 2 development. Our commitment to building strategic alliances that validate our suite of antibody technologies came into focus in 2016 with the mid-year announcement of a collaboration with AbbVie for the development of our cancer immunotherapy products, argenx 115. We made progress with our other collaborations as well and continue to seek out new partnerships, including one with Staten Biotechnology for argenx 116, a dyslipidemia antibody, which we announced last week. We believe our simple antibody platform, based on the immune system of outbred llamas, and our Fc engineering technologies offer us a real competitive advantage, allowing us to exploit novel and complex targets for maximum therapeutic effect. Leveraging these technologies to harness the therapeutic potential of antibodies and to build important alliances are keystones of our strategy and allow us to capture the greatest value from our product pipeline. And finally, we closed out 2016 with a very strong financial position of €96.7 million as of December 31st, thanks in part to a $40 million upfront payment from AbbVie and the closing of a private placement in June 2016. Moving on to slide 6, this covers our business strategy that recognizes both our unique ability to generate differentiated antibody candidates, but also the benefit of a partnership in disease areas or patient populations that are better served by the resources of a larger biopharmaceutical company. As a result of this strategy, we have entered into several collaborations that are laid out on the slide, including an ongoing agreement to utilize our full suite of technologies with Shire, product deals outside of our strategic focus for argenx 109, argenx 112, and argenx 116 with Bertok Bio, Leo, and Staten Biotech, and product deals in larger indications like argenx 115 with AbbVie. We are dedicated to moving forward through proof of concept studies with argenx 110 and argenx 113, whilst we intend to partner argenx 111 based on the existing phase 1 data. Our robust pipeline of wholly owned and partnered programs is shown on slide number 7. At the top is Argenx-113, our most advanced candidate in development for rare autoimmune diseases. We initiated a phase II study of Argenx-113 in myasthenia gravis earlier this year and expect to start a phase II study in immune thrombocytopenia this month. Our rationale for choosing these indications is based on phase I data suggesting the drug's potential to reduce pathogenic levels of IgGs, a key characteristic of both MG and ITP. Argenx-110, targeting CD70, is our lead oncology candidate. In December 2016, we initiated an open-label phase I/II clinical trial of Argenx-110 in combination with standard of care in newly diagnosed AML, as well as high-risk MDS patients. We expect to initiate an open-label phase I/II trial in adult relapsed or refractory CD70-positive CTCL patients this coming month. Argenx-111 is our c-Met-targeting antibody. We are not funding further development of this program and instead intend to partner the asset. Our partnered assets are below, as I already highlighted on the last slide, in large indications like Argenx-115 with AbbVie for cancer immunotherapy, or in indications outside of our focus like Argenx-112 with LEO Pharma in skin inflammation. We also announced earlier this month our new collaboration with Stanton Biotechnology to license Argenx-116, an anti-APOC3 simple antibody with therapeutic potential in dyslipidemia. Under the terms of the agreement, Stanton will be responsible for additional development of 116, and Argenx is eligible to receive a percentage up to low 20s on income related to the product. Slide nine. Moving on to our discussion on Argenx-113, which targets FcRn with high affinity. Argenx-113 was developed using our ABDEC engineering technology to block the recycling of IgGs and remove the antibodies from circulation. Typically, IgGs are either degraded in the lysosomes or they bind to FcRn receptors and are recycled back into circulation. By blocking the FcRn receptor, Argenx-113 prevents this recycling, and you can see on the graph on the right hand that repeat dosing of 113 leads to rapid and sustained reduction of IgG levels. Moving on to slide 10. The ability of the drug candidate to reduce levels of circulating IgGs created a rationale in choosing indications to study. First, we looked at indications where pathogenic IgG levels mediate disease. We secondly considered indications we could bring forward ourselves in orphan indications that would require smaller, more focused trials and clear regulatory paths. With these criteria in mind, and based on significant unmet medical need, we decided to focus our first phase II studies on MG and ITP. We believe there are other autoimmune diseases that would benefit from this mechanism of action, and we plan to expand our development efforts into other diseases mediated by pathogenic IgGs as well. Before I walk through the design of the phase II studies, I'd like to show some of the data supporting the mechanism of action and development rationale. Slide 11. We completed a double-blind, placebo-controlled phase I clinical trial of Argenx-113 in healthy volunteers to assess safety, tolerability, pharmacokinetics, pharmacodynamics, and immunogenicity of single and multiple ascending doses. The single dose went from 0.2 mg/kg to 50 mg/kg, and the multiple doses went up to 25 mg/kg. On slide 12 are some of the results. With the single ascending dose, we observed that a two-hour infusion of 10 mg/kg of drug was associated with an approximate 50% reduction of circulating IgGs, and that the reduction lasted for more than 4 weeks after the last dose. We believe that this could translate to a meaningful and durable change in the clinic. Additionally, administered with Argenx-113 showed no changes in IgM, IgA, or albumin levels alongside the reduction of IgGs, indicating the drug may be a highly selective immunosuppressant. There were no drug or infusion-related serious adverse events, even in the highest doses. As you can see on slide number 13, the multiple ascending dose results show that repeat administration of the drug was associated with a gradual reduction across all four classes of IgG antibodies, ranging from 60 to 85%, and that this reduction persisted for more than 4 weeks after the last dose. Slide 14. We dosed the first myasthenia gravis patient in the phase 2 study in January 2017. We expect to enroll up to 24 patients, 12 on drug and 12 on placebo, across 25 sites in the US and Europe. All patients need to be stable on standard of care and will continue to receive the regimen throughout the trial. Patients will receive 4 weekly doses for a 3-week period, and follow-up will continue for 8 weeks after the last dose. On slide 15, you can see that we expect to start a phase 2 study in ITP this month, which will have 3 12-patient arms, 2 drug doses, and a placebo. The dosing schedule will be similar, and patients will also remain on standard of care. The primary endpoints for both studies are safety and tolerability, and safety endpoints will include also immunogenicity and PK/PD effects. On slide 16, you can see that we're currently studying an IV formulation for Argenx-113, but that we're also actively developing a subcutaneous product presentation to enable administration to larger patient populations, including those requiring chronic therapy. Slide 16 shows our head-to-head studies of the two formulations in a preclinical monkey model, suggesting comparable half-life in circulation, favorable bioavailability for the sub-Q product, and a comparable PD effect. We plan to initiate a phase 1 trial in healthy volunteers with the sub-Q formulation in the second half of this year. So that is Argenx-113. We recognize the many limitations with current therapies for these rare autoimmune diseases and are very excited to see how the early clinical results will translate into patients and in showing a clinically meaningful benefit. On slide 18, I'd now like to talk through updates in our lead oncology program, Argenx-110, with which we are focusing our studies in T-cell lymphoma and acute myelogenous leukemia, as well as myelodysplastic syndromes. Argenx-110 blocks CD70, a cell surface protein that is commonly overexpressed in B-cell and T-cell lymphomas and leukemias, and plays a role in the proliferation and survival of these malignant cells. The simple antibody was developed using potelligent Fc engineering technology, allowing it not to just block CD70 signaling, but also kill the tumor cell through antibody-dependent cell-mediated cytotoxicity. Our understanding of the mechanism of Argenx-110 is much in thanks to Professor Oxenbein at the University of Bern, who has elucidated the role of CD70 in cancer therapy. Slide 19. CD70 is strongly overexpressed across types of T-cell lymphomas and is quite low or absent in normal tissue. Once CD70 binds to its receptor CD27, a cascade of events occurs leading to cell proliferation and survival, and also to the creation of a byproduct of CD27 known as soluble CD27. We believe this soluble CD27 has the potential to serve as a biomarker for our studies to identify patients and monitor progression and impact of the drug. Moving on to slide number 20. Argenx-110 has been studied in a phase 1/2 dose escalation in patients with CD70 positive tumors. There were 2 patients with relapsed refractory CD70 positive Sézary syndrome, a form of cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, and these patients showed a reduction of CD70 positive tumor cells after dosing. This led to a safety expansion cohort of patients with CTCL and PTCL specifically, and we expect to have the top-line results from this study by end of the year. We have seen some early results from the study in the first 10 patients, which show 3 patients to have a partial response and 2 to have stable disease. These results are shown on slide number 21. These results were presented at ASH in December last year, and the study is still ongoing, and updates will follow when we transition into a phase 2 clinical trial shortly. Moving on to the ongoing AML combination study of Argenx 110 with standard of care. Slides 23 to 25 walk you through the preclinical rationale supporting our study of Argenx 110 in patients with AML or MDS, MDS being often a precursor to AML. We believe that soluble CD27, as I mentioned before, is a good biomarker for CD70, CD27 activity. Levels of this biomarker were shown to be elevated in AML patients, independent of the patient's other characteristics. Slide 24. The CD70, CD27 interaction is also shown to be specific to leukemic stem cells, since the protein is not overexpressed on normal hematopoietic stem cells. On slide 25, you can see that in a preclinical mouse efficacy model, an anti-CD70 antibody reduces leukemic stem cell function and prolongs survival. In December 2016, we are now on slide 26, we initiated an open-label dose-escalating phase 1/2 clinical trial of Argenx 110 in combination with azacitidine in newly diagnosed AML or high-risk MDS patients. The first part is a dose escalation of 3 doses administered biweekly in up to 18 patients. We expect to have top-line results from this phase by the end of the year, which will help to determine the maximum tolerated dose for the phase 2 portion of the trial. In the phase 2 portion, we will evaluate efficacy in up to 18 patients. Finally, on slide 28, I'd like to briefly discuss Argenx 115, our cancer immunotherapy program against the novel target GARP in collaboration with AbbVie. GARP is a protein present on the surface of activated T regulatory cells, and in preclinical models, Argenx 115 was shown to block the activity of Tregs, suggesting the potential to reactivate the immune system against cancer cells. As part of the collaboration, we received a $40 million upfront payment from AbbVie, and we will advance the drug through preclinical and IND-enabling studies, a trajectory during which we are eligible to receive 2 further milestone payments, each of $10 million, and after which AbbVie has the exclusive option to license the drug. So those are our key value drivers. Our wholly owned programs with Argenx 113 and Argenx 110, and our partner programs which truly maximize the potential value of our pipeline. We have been very active with our pipeline since the close of the year end and have announced some recent exciting news that I would like to recap before turning the call over to Eric for the financial discussion. First of all, we initiated our first phase 2 study for Argenx 113 in myasthenia gravis. We also announced progress with 2 collaborations. First, the extension of our antibody alliance with Shire for the discovery and development of novel therapeutic antibodies for rare diseases. Under the ongoing agreement, both companies will continue with preclinical development for the most promising programs out of the 5-year-old agreement to date. Second, the exercise of option by Staten Biotechnology to develop a therapeutic simple antibody for dyslipidemia is second success under our innovative access program. And on the corporate side, we announced our intention to conduct a registered public offering in the United States of America. With this, I would now like to turn the call over to our CFO, Eric, for him to walk through the financials.
Thank you, Tim, and good afternoon, everybody. So let's move to slide number 30. As you can see with this slide, our financial statements today reflect principally research and development expenses and revenue from our collaborations. Our operating income increased significantly in 2016 to reach 17.2 million euros compared to 10 million in 2015. This significant increase in operating income in 2016 is principally explained by the payments received in connection with entering into the collaboration agreements with LEO Pharma in May 2015 and with AbbVie in April 2016. In 2016, our research and development expenses were 31.6 million euros compared to 20.6 million euros in 2015. The 11 million euros increase in 2016 reflects increased clinical trials and product manufacturing activities, the recruitment of additional R&D personnel and consultants, and the share-based payments cost recognized in compensation for the grant of stock options to our R&D personnel. Our general and administrative expenses amounted to 7 million euros in 2016 compared to 4.9 million euros in 2015. The 2.1 million euros increase in 2016 is explained by additional expenses incurred for supporting activities, the recruitment of new employees to strengthen our G&A activities, and the share-based payments costs recognized in compensation for stock options granted to our G&A employees, consultants, and board members. As a result, we reported a total comprehensive loss of 21.4 million euros in 2016 compared to a total comprehensive loss of 15.3 million euros in 2015. We closed out the year 2016 with a strong cash position of 96.7 million euros, including our cash equivalents, and current financial assets. The significant increase in our cash position in 2016 was driven by the two private placements completed in January and June 2016 with predominantly U.S. institutional investors for total gross proceeds of 46 million euros, and also the upfront payment of $40 million received following the signature of the collaboration agreement with AbbVie in 2016. Now if we move to slide 31, this slide shows that we are very capital efficient in managing our activities. As you can see, we have been raising a total of 133.8 million euros since inception, including the two private placements closed in 2016, and we still add 96.7 million euros of cash equivalents, and current financial assets at the end of 2016. The group has a business model which relies heavily on outsourcing its R&D activities through external collaborations. Therefore, most of our operating expenses are variable expenses. As you can see, we are mainly investing in R&D with a total of 31.6 million euros of R&D expenses in 2016, representing 82% of our total operating expenses. Our G&A expenses are relatively low and reflect our lean and efficient structure. The group was employing 58 people at the end of 2016, of which 48 in R&D and 10 in G&A. With 96.7 million euros of cash at the end of 2016, we believe that we are well capitalized to execute on our strategic plan to take our products portfolio to clinical proof of concept. We will continue to focus our spending on clinical development pipeline, and in parallel, we will continue to advance and expand the preclinical product pipeline, looking to access novel targets and technologies whilst we're building this company. To conclude on this financial slide, in the bottom, you can see the fully diluted shareholding structure of the group at the end of January 2017. As a result of the two private placements completed in 2016, we reduced our VC overhang to about 33.5% of the outstanding shares, compared to 73% at the time of the IPO 2 years ago. With this, I would like to turn back the call to Tim.
Thank you, Eric. On slide 32, As you can see, we continue to be very focused on our goals into the first quarter of 2017 to progress forward with our pipeline programs. We have a number of exciting events to look forward to through the rest of the year, so we hope you will stay tuned. This month, we expect to initiate our Phase 2 study of Argenx 113 in ITP, as well as our Phase 2 monotherapy study for Argenx 110 in T-cell lymphoma patients on the heels of the updated data from the safety expansion cohort in T-cell. We also expect to launch our study of the sub-Q version of Argenx 113 in the second half of 2017. And with that, we would like to turn the call over for questions. Thank you very much for your attention today.
Thank you very much. If you'd like to ask a question over the phone, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. You can cancel the request by pressing the hash key. Alternatively, you can type a question into the Q&A tab on the right-hand side of WebEx. Star, then one on the telephone or the Q&A tab over the web. The first question we have on the phone today comes from the line of Ted Tenthoff from Piper Jaffray. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you very much, and congrats on all the progress last year. Looking forward to a busy 2017. I actually just have one quick question with respect to the AbbVie partnership. How likely is it that we see anti-GARP antibody progress into the clinic in 2017? And can you give us any clearer timing on the milestone payments from AbbVie?
Good to hear the voice, Ted, and thanks for the question. So with regards to the AbbVie collaboration, we anticipate two preclinical milestones which are associated with the typical preclinical activities to take an antibody lead to IND submission. We anticipate at least one of the milestone payments during the course of the year. But as it goes in these collaborations, we will only be able to announce the milestone if and when the event actually took place.
Yep, understood. I appreciate that additional color. And one quick follow-up, if I may. Will you guys be attending the Myasthenia Gravis Conference in New York this spring? I appreciate it may be a little bit early for clinical data from the Phase 2 study, but just curious if you all have a presence there.
For sure we're going to be present there at TET, as well as some of our top clinicians participating to our ongoing Myasthenia Gravis trial. There's going to be a lecture by Jan Verschuren, the leading MG physician in the Netherlands, who is actively recruiting to our study. He will present some of our preclinical data. Also, James Howard, who is actually the lead PI of the study, will be present, and the company will be there with a poster presentation. So, yes, we will be there.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. Thanks for the answers.
Thank you very much. Once again, star then one on the telephone or the Q&A tab over the web. The next question today comes from the line of Jean-Paul Manny from Kempen. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and hi, Tim, Eric, and Joke. Four short ones, if I may. Tim, can you remind us on sub-Q on 113? Did you add any additional technology to this formulation, or is it fully your own? And can you give a bit more color on when you would expect some data from this sub-Q trial, once started in H2? Then maybe on 111, you expect to publish data. Could you give us a bit more color on when that could then result also in more formal discussions on partnering, or should we really wait for that for H2? I also read in the Outlook that you would expect to start a new pipeline program, and since you don't give any guidance on cash, how should we look at this? Obviously, you're well funded with the current programs, but would this also then entail a clinical program, and would this impact your cash burn? And maybe lastly, you mentioned the filing with the SEC. Appreciating you cannot say much, but when should we or could we expect any update on timing here? Thanks.
Jean-Paul, thank you for joining, and thanks for your four questions. And with regards to the subcutaneous product presentation, I'm going to be able to provide you with limited information only because it's becoming a highly competitive space. So I cannot answer your question whether we have been adding additional technology. The only thing I can say is that Argenx 113 as a product turns out to be extremely well behaved when it comes to manufacturability and stability. So we have been able to go to a super high product concentration for the molecule where it continues to be very well behaved. So I think together with the cynomolgus monkey data we presented at ASH, the formulation work we did with Lonza is validating our belief that 113 is exceptionally well suited for a subcutaneous product presentation. With regards to the second question on Argenx 111, I would really like to manage our expectations on the speed by which we will be able to partner the asset. We believe that the c-MET biology understanding has dramatically changed in the past 12 to 18 months. Today, the c-MET biology is much better understood, and I believe that the interest in the field is going to pick up again, but we're running into the hurdles that first-generation antibody molecules had some high-profile failures, and so we need to overcome that hurdle. And as you know, c-MET is also not an immune checkpoint, immune checkpoints being very much in vogue today. So I think we need to manage our own expectations with regards to a timing of a potential partnership. We will present the full phase one data during the first half of this year. That is the promise which we made, and we're well on track to do that. Concerning a potential additional pipeline program, you remember, of course, that the productivity and efficiency of the platform is very high. So for us, the marginal cost of creating a new pipeline program is relatively small compared to the burn rate created by Argenx 113 and Argenx 110. So you will not see a meaningful impact on cash burn this year by the launch of a new pipeline program. These antibody programs become more expensive once you transition them into formal process development and manufacturing with Lonza and launch into clinical trials. With regards to the filing which we did with the SEC, I think that we're very limited in our ability to talk about timing of the next steps. And I think we will go through the normal process. I think what will be gating here will be the amount of feedback which we will be receiving from the SEC, but even more importantly, the feedback we will be obtaining from the market through our testing the water meetings. So I would say stay tuned, and the company will give you adequate updates if and when the time allows us to do that.
We will. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Jean-Paul.
Thank you very much. No further questions over the phone at this stage, but once again, star then one on the telephone or the Q&A tab over the web. There is one question on the web for you.
So I think we have a question from Tom. Hi, Tom. Very nice to see you participating to the call. I very much appreciate it. And there is a question with regards to the subcutaneous dosing of Argenx 113, where the question is how many dosings a 20 milligram per kilogram dose of 113 would require. Let me answer that question as follows. Basically, it's too early to tell. The phase one healthy volunteer study is going to educate us on dosing regimen, because once you have pushed down your IgGs with a loading dose, the question really is how low you can keep the 113 dosing in order to maintain IgG levels suppressed. So whilst this is an excellent question, we should really wait for the outcome of the healthy volunteer study in order to talk more intelligently about a dosing regimen. Okay.
Thank you. No further questions at this stage, but once again, star then one on the telephone or the Q&A tab over the web. Thank you very much. No further questions are coming through at this stage.
Okay. Okay, Steve. Yeah. I don't think there will come any questions anymore. So we would really like to thank everybody for joining this call. Also, thank you for all the questions, and we will close this conference call now, but we hope to meet you in the future. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.
Thank you very much. That does conclude the conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.